Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Kia ora, Bryce. We've got Bryce Edwards on the phone for political commentary. How are you this morning?
Maureen, Sophia. Yes, I'm great. Talking to you from Nelson today.
Oh, that's a change of scene.
Yeah. No, nice down here at the moment.
Oh, gorgeous. Have you got bad weather as well?
No. I wouldn't say it's sunny, but no, it's not too bad.
Oh, lovely. What a treat. Well, today we're chatting about the goings-on in the Green Party recently, namely Tamitha Paul's position on defunding the police and prisons. We're going to talk about the subsequent billboard campaigns against Paul and Chloe Swarbrick shortly, but do you want to start by summarising Tamitha Paul's view on police?
Oh, look, it's a bit hard to know exactly what Paul's position is. She's been lending her support to some groups that are very critical of the police and the prison system, justice system in general. And so she's been involved in fundraisers and she's been made some swipes at the police in Wellington because, of course, she's the Wellington Central MP, and she's talked about the police's involvement with homeless people, maybe sometimes moving them along, talking about how some marginalised groups aren't trusting of the police and are fearful of them. And so she's kind of, I think, started a very healthy debate on the role of the police in society, but it's not entirely sure where exactly she or the Green Party stands on these things. I think she's been quite brave in bringing these things up, but failed to kind of give us a bit more clarity on Green Party policy and where it's going on these things.
Mm, you're totally right. It has definitely brought about some great discourse about the role of police in Aotearoa. And her commentary criticising the police has really been picked up by the media and prompted some outrage from various members in Parliament. However, many people outside of politics, members of the community, criminologists, have said that her view is representative of theirs and their community's feelings about police, which is, of course, reflective of people's negative experiences of policing, which continues into the present, particularly with Māori, who are 7 times more likely than Pākehā to be victims of police violence. What do you think has driven criticism of Paul's view then?
Well, I don't think, you know, the public at large are totally on side with that view. So especially parties of the right, politicians of the right, are sort of trying to, suggest that the Greens are kind of in a fringe position on this. And so part of it's politicking, I guess. But it is true that the Greens are probably pushing a position that isn't very widely held. And so, yes, lots of experts would be siding with this, but there'll also be a lot of members of the public that think, well, actually, we don't feel safe from crime, we're worried about law and order, and are the Greens suggesting we should have less safety? And so, yeah, I think that's where it's coming from.
Right. And we wanted to also talk about the series of billboards starting popping up mimicking Green Party election hoardings. These weren't authorised by the Greens, though, and have been funded by the Sensitive Sentencing Trust and organised by the Taxpayers Union's Jordan Williams as the campaign company. What do we know about those who are involved in these campaigns and their justification for them?
Yeah, look, this has been quite a dirty part of politics. So, yes, these billboards sprung up and they looked like they were Green Party billboards. They said vote Green. They had flash photos of Green MPs in them. And it was mocking them, but we know that they were authorised by Sensible Sentencing Trust, but the real group behind it is this company called the Campaign Company. It's owned and operated by Jordan Williams, and he was actually someone that was pointed to in Nikki Haga's Dirty Politics book about 10 years ago, and as being one of the characters involved in sort of behind the scenes scheming and plotting on the right of politics. So it seems that his company often does this for lots of other I don't know, conservative and right-wing groups. So they have clients like Groundswell NZ, which is a kind of anti-environment farmers group, Hobson's Choice, I think listeners will be well aware of, does all the advertising, well, not all, but a lot of the advertising for them. And increasingly there's talk of Jordan Williams and the campaign company kind of being the sort of puppet master behind all of those different groups, and that the term astroturfing is used more and more, with this idea that maybe some of these groups like Sensible Sentencing Trust aren't actually real groups. They're really just funded by Jordan Williams or other sort of entities to suggest that they're kind of grassroots groups, but they're really just billboards being paid for by wealthy people.
So is the campaign company a lobbying firm?
That's a great question, because it's just a commercial firm, according to its website, that takes on different marketing campaigns. But I think it is a lobbying firm in a sense, because it has influence on the political system, and I think it has some ideological purposes. Like I said, it's aligned with various conservative and right-wing groups, so it needs a lot more scrutiny. And in New Zealand, we don't really have enough, well, I don't believe we have enough scrutiny from the media or academia of some of these lobbying groups, and certainly we have no rules about what they have to declare and how they operate. So there's a number of groups that are calling for more regulation of lobbyists at the moment, and I think Jordan Williams' group would fall into that quite well.
And the campaign company has now been added to the Integrity Institute's new New Zealand Lobbying and Influence Register, which launched this week. What is that going to do for the group?
Well, it just means that if people want to know more about any particular entity that's involved in influencing politics, you can look online on this this register and find out who owns them, you know, what their operations are, what some of their controversies are, who works for them, lots of just details like that. So it's a bit of a Wikipedia or encyclopedia of these different groups. So it just means that there's more awareness, more ability for people to scrutinise, you know, powerful players in politics, especially the more shadowy ones behind the scenes.
And this is all coming right as a new study from the University of Otago came out highlighting the high rates of abuse that female MPs in Parliament face in Aotearoa. Recently, we've also had the ongoing abuse and threats to Green MP Benjamin Doyle. I could go on. There are recurring attacks on MPs. What do you think this is all saying about the state of politics at the moment? What kind of political environment is this creating when we're seeing these attacks on MPs so often?
Yeah, dirty is the word, but also we are living in a heightened time of polarisation, and I don't think New Zealanders are very good at debate. I mean, it's good to have disagreements, and it's good to have conflicts, and it's, you know, we don't want everyone just getting along and pretending to be on the same page when they're not. So, you know, these MPs, you know, do need to be challenged and disagreed with where people, you know, want to know or have strong disagreements. It's just that I think, you know, we're coming into a very toxic way of doing this. And, of course, we've got different sort of prejudices, discriminations, misogyny, racism, that's also kind of being thrown into the pot here. And so it leads to a very ugly and dirty political discourse that doesn't really help anyone. But like I say, there's nothing wrong with conflict as itself and huge disagreement. You know, we've got to learn to be able to say, I disagree with you and you're wrong, without it going into threats.
And we also wanted to touch on the Wellington mayoral race. The Green Party have nominated the incumbent Tori Whanau as their candidate, and Andrew Little has just announced that he is challenging her. This is pretty major, as this is a return to politics for Little as the former Labour Party leader and former cabinet minister. He also says that Wellington needs urgent change and serious leadership. What is Little's vision for Wellington, and how would that change the current structures under Whanau's leadership?
Yeah, so Andrew Little, a pretty serious entrant to the race in Wellington. And I think it is a real game changer. We don't exactly know what he stands for. People, you know, have seen him in politics on the national stage for a long time and know that he comes from the left. He's not particularly radical left, shall we say. He's more centrist. He's more. He does come from a union background. In fact, a student politician as well. But he positions himself as a bit more conservative than maybe the Greens, for example. But he's running on a ticket where he kind of wants to fix things and, reprioritise the city council back to doing things like fixing pipes, fixing housing, getting rates down, etc. So it's not really all that different to someone like Wayne Brown, in fact. And so he's positioning himself as being a bit boring, which, you know, I think he'll be accused of that, but being competent and trying to fix up Wellington. So I think that will appeal to a lot of people from left and right.
Mm. And just before we wrap up, how secure do you think Tory Farno is after her last term as Wellington mayor?
Oh, very insecure. I wouldn't be surprised if she actually pulls out of the race now that Little's in it. Wellington is just, you know, it's got huge problems in the city, and any mayor that had been in for the last 3 years would have struggled, and they've got a council that's quite fractious all over the place. But Tory Farnell hasn't really given a sense to the public that she's been in control, that she's been managing these things very well. And so there's a lot of discontent in Wellington, just about everything. So it's not a good time to be an incumbent.
Mm. Well, thank you so much, Bryce, for hopping on the phone with me. It was great to chat with you.
Cheers, Sophia.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely rest of your morning. All right, ka kite.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.